I want to draw your attention to a Bible character whom we often associate with the virtue of patience. You have heard of the patience of Job. In the 42 chapters which give to us his life story, God portrays his great interest in one man. Job was a man who was moral and upright, but he was self-righteous and self-satisfied. He boasted in his integrity by saying, "I will hold fast my righteousness and will not let it go." He prided himself in the fact that he had been eyes to the blind and feet to the lame, and that he had caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Job claimed that he was innocent. God's whole purpose was to bring Job to judge himself and come to the end of himself. And after a long series of unpleasant events, Job got a real sight of his lost condition in the presence of a holy God, who caused him to exclaim, "Behold, I am vile." Job's friends tried to help him, but they were of little help, for they did not understand God's dealings with him. Their offered help was a ministry of condemnation, and Job needed the ministry of conviction rather than of condemnation. It's easy to condemn, but it's difficult to convict. In the first place, Job was wrong about his thoughts of God. He thought that God was against him, and that he was cruel to him. And many they are like him today who think that God is harsh and cruel, whereas God has always been for man and not against him. He is not cruel, he is love. Job charged that God counted him as an enemy, marking all his paths and putting his feet in the stocks. But the truth of the matter was that God never counted Job as an enemy. He was only keeping him from going into greater evil. It is surely a God of love who puts a hedge upon our way, restraining us from an evil course. God blocked the evil plans of Balaam and did everything to hinder and stop that man in his downward path. And each one of us can bear testimony to the fact that God has allowed circumstances to restrain us from greater depths of evil. One of Job's comforters, Elihu, tells Job of the different ways in which God speaks to men. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through the voice of conscience. He speaks in the still, small hours of the night, when the noises of earth have been silenced. If you are too much involved in earthly interests to hear the voice of God in the daytime, he may choose to speak to you in the still hours of the night. God's purpose in speaking thus to man is to withdraw him from his purposes and to keep back his soul from the pit. If God did not speak to men, they would drift carelessly right into hell, and God would receive no delight in seeing men perish in their sins. He has a better purpose in mind. He wants you to fulfill the purpose that God had, and only one who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ can possess fullness of joy and a life that is worthwhile. Elihu said, "God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not." In other words, man will not listen to God's voice, and this is a very serious charge. It may seem a small matter now, but you will discover that the voice of God cannot be ignored without serious consequences. If it's a serious offense to resist the officer of the law, it is even a greater offense to resist or ignore the kind and loving entreaty of a gracious God. After Job got a true picture of his lost condition, after he saw his need, he became interested in finding a mediator or a savior. He expressed it by saying, "Neither is there any dazed man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both." In the New Testament, that necessary mediator is proclaimed. In 1 Timothy 2:5, I read, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." He is the only one who could lay his hands upon God and upon the sinner and bring them together. And he did it by dying in the sinner's room instead. By his death on Calvary's cross, he opened a way for guilty and helpless sinners to be cleansed and saved. It may be that you have never realized the solemnity of treating lightly God's expressed desire to come into your life and to bring peace and blessing. Elihu tells Job that God speaks by chastening with pain upon the bed. How often God speaks to a man by laying him upon his back on a sick bed. But even then, some will not listen. It's almost unbelievable to see the indifference of men, even though God brings them down to the very gates of death. But God finds it necessary on many occasions. Souls are blessed through such circumstances. God brought Job down to the jaws of death, but it became a place of blessing. And many since Job's day can say that physical suffering led to spiritual blessing. My unsaved friend, no matter how wonderful your character, whether high-born or low-born, rich or poor, educated or illiterate, religious or irreligious, you must be awakened to the fact that you are traveling on the broad road that leads to hell. Thank God you are not there yet, but you will soon be there if you will not turn to the gracious Savior that has provided such a wonderful salvation at such infinite cost. Job discovered that all his claims of self-justification were unavailing, and he found his salvation in the Redeemer. The man who justifies himself cannot be justified. A man full of talk cannot be justified. His mouth must be closed. His head must be bowed, acknowledging his guilt. The life of Job consisted of a series of unpleasant events, but these all led to a happy ending. The closing chapters, especially the last one, is filled with blessing and happiness. Listen to these blessed words in the closing verses of Job's history. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. These words are true of every child of God, but they cannot be true of the unsaved one, for the latter end of the one who closes his heart to God is always bitter darkness. May this brief review of Job's life bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need him, and he stands ready to save you the moment you will tell him that you do believe that his work for you is sufficient. May God help you to do it so that your latter end may hold nothing but eternal blessing.